What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Beacon League podcast, season 7. Just getting started. It's only the beginning of week 3. We just wrapped up week 2. I hope you guys are enjoying the podcast so far. Of course, we are taking all suggestions for anything that we want to throw on the show for future episodes, but glad you're back for another one. We have a special guest today. You guys have seen the post on our Instagram. We have Mike Colon in the building. And then we're going to do an overview of last week's matchups, the Alpha Award, Waffle House Watch, and then start looking into week 3's matchups. So without any further ado, let's introduce the man, the myth, the legend, as every dad in America should say when they see a good friend. Mike Colon, how you doing, bro?
I'm doing all right. Thank you very much for the nice introduction. Appreciate you having me. Happy to be on board.
Absolutely, bro. We appreciate you being on board. This was something that was kind of talked about probably, honestly, a year ago, but we just didn't have the podcast running back up. But I, in particular, familiar with your work, so I was like, that would be a great addition if we could have Mike do something on the media end with us. So just give yourself if you can just give us a little bit of background as to your what you're into right now for media and what you in the space that you're working in right now as Mike Colon Media.
Well, thank you very much. Yeah, I've been in the media game for about 6 years. It started when I was 17, and I was a writer then for a blog for a short period of time covering New York sports. And I ventured off, started my own podcast for a while. I took a 2-year hiatus to finish up college and focus on some other things. Mm-hmm. And for basically parts of 5-6 years, I've had the podcast, but it's really recently, going back to late 2020, where it exploded in popularity. So, you know, originally it was a sports podcast, for sure. Okay. Did a lot of sports interviews, but I've always been passionate. I've always been a huge first responders buff. You know, I grew up around cops and firemen, and spending a lot of time in New York City, as I do, both between business and my family down there, I've taken to profiling a lot of retired New York City cops and New York City firefighters and hearing their stories, which has contributed to, like I said, an explosion in the show's popularity. So one week, you know, I could be talking to a retired FBI agent or somebody who was in the emergency service unit of the NYPD, which is just a half SWAT, half rescue team, or someone who was in the bomb squad at the NYPD, to someone who was on the FDNY and responded to building collapses, responded to 3-alarm fires, of course, was working during the events of September 11th. So it's a show that focuses primarily on that. There is occasional interviews with news personalities and sports personalities as well, but we're going over 250 episodes strong. We're closing in on episode 270, as a matter of fact, this Friday. And in addition to that, I have my own consulting company dealing with media, helping people start their podcast and edit them too. And that was a more recent endeavor. I picked that up a few months back, but I got my tentacles in different places. But the podcast started. I also have the company. I still write from time to time. I often joke that podcasting is my wife, but writing's my mistress. that's pretty much what I've been up to. And yeah, I enjoy it a lot. It's allowed me to meet a lot of great people. And like I said, I appreciate the fact that the show has taken on such a life of its own.
That's, yeah, wow. You've done a lot in a span of 6 years, bro. That's pretty impressive. And that's another reason, of course, I knew some of that information, not so much detail to it, but I've seen your show, heard your show, and I was like, yeah, Mike could literally run any podcast in the, like, whether it was sports or not. You just have that thing that Beacon League podcast needed. So I said, Mike's gotta come on. So we're glad to have you again. So of course, we're obviously a fantasy football league podcast. I don't know if you've ever played before, but I know you follow football to an extent. And who would just let everybody know where your fandom lies, because everybody in the league has a favorite team, so you just gotta declare yours now.
Oh, of course. Well, fantasy I never played. I do respect those that play. I just, in any sport, I was never, and I don't look down on it at all, but I just never really took a liking to it myself. Although, like, okay, I said, watching other people do it is interesting, to say the least. And monitoring how they put their teams together, and certainly seeing that up close now with you guys is pretty unique. Me, I'm all in New York, so it's the Yankees in baseball, the Knicks in basketball, the Rangers in hockey. I might be the only Dominican that watches hockey on a consistent basis. So I'm an Oriole that way. But football, it's always been the New York Giants, which Jordan just absolutely loves, I know. He's a diehard Eagles fan. But I'm a Giants fan. We've struggled for many, many years, but we turned a corner last year. This year's kind of we'll wait and see. Big game coming up against San Fran tomorrow night. This is being taped on a Wednesday, of course. I've always been a huge New York Giants fan.
Okay. All right. So we had some.
Hey, I got two chips, man. I'm good.
So you better than me, bro. I ain't seen one since I was born. What was I gonna say? Oh yeah. So we got some news today about your Giants, actually. Saquon is not playing tomorrow. Confirmed, he's out. He's got an ankle. What do you think about tomorrow's game? Yeah. What do you think? Can't confirm he has an ankle. What do you think about tomorrow's game, outcome wise? And then what do you think the ramifications of not having Saquon out there could be for the Giants?
He's important, but at the same time, running backs, I hate to say it, are very expendable. We're not in the 90s anymore. We're not in the 80s anymore. Even the early 2000s, where running backs were essential. You know, you don't see too many Emmitt Smiths, Barry Sanders, Jerome Bettises anymore that can make or break games. Adrian Peterson or LaDainian Tomlinson, those guys are long gone. So we're in the era now where you could literally sign a guy off the street and he can get you by somewhat. It's more so a passing type league. And even quarterbacks are more mobile than they ever were. I've never seen this many rushing quarterbacks, including, of course, Jordan, your quarterback, Jalen Hurts. My quarterback, to a lesser extent, is pretty mobile in his own right. So between that, it's important. Listen, he's big in the locker room. He's by all accounts a good teammate and a good guy. So from that standpoint, it's tough not to have him. But looking strictly on the field, it's not the end of the world for me. As far as tomorrow, you know, I've always been pretty objective in my fandom across all my teams. I tell it like it is and how I see it. Short week, you're against a really good team, a team that was a few injuries away from going to the Super Bowl last year. I don't see the Giants winning that game. I'd be very pleasantly surprised if they did, but it's, like I said, it's a short week from Sunday into tomorrow, and like I said, you're playing an excellent Super Bowl contending team. That's going to be one that I'd be very surprised if the Giants came away with a W there. I don't mean to be pessimistic, but unless San Fran absolutely poops to bed, they should come away with the W there.
Yeah, no, I you're not being pessimistic, bro. You're being real, and that's what we appreciate here at on the Beacon League podcast, because if anything, we're going to just be nothing but brutally honest, and I agree with you. Like, tomorrow night doesn't look good for the Giants. It really don't look good for anybody in the NFL right now from playing San Francisco, so I can't even blame this. The Giants, without Saquon, obviously he's not the whole team, but they basically would like to run their offense through Saquon, whether they hand it off to him or throw it to him. They're missing Andrew Thomas tomorrow night too, so their O-line is depleted again. So
yeah,
that's not gonna be a fun game to watch. But there'll be others. So yeah, sure. So it's a long season. It's only week three, but but yeah, man. So we're thank you for hopping on. We're glad to have you. So just so you guys know, Mike's gonna be hopping on from time to time when he can for the weekly show. Sometimes he'll be in my chair for the kind of, you know, running the podcast, asking the questions, just kind of keeping it smooth flowing. So we'll have Mike on for that, asking the questions. And of course, as he gets more familiar with the league, with the league mates, how everything's going, he's got access to Sleeper, so he can see all the moves we're making. He can see who's winning, all the scores on Sunday for the first time. He'll be able to see that this week. So. So he's in, he's our own, I put in the chat the other week that we just added, Adamus Schefter because that was the closest Dominican thing I could get to a Spanish version of Adam. So Adamus Schefter is coming to Beacon League. So,
that works,
it works. It's gotta work. So we're, really glad you're gonna, hop on with us and take this ride through Beacon League 7 and hopefully into the future and make this thing as big as possible. Pause. With YouTube, with Discord, with the podcast. We wanted to turn this thing, turn this thing into something. Hopefully, in the future, that not just us would be listening to and watching and following. That'd be fun to just have. Like, remember the show, The League? Like, that was just a show about a whole bunch of group of friends of fantasy football teams. That show was kind of fun. That's my vision for Beacon League long term, is to just people just be like, yo, you know that league that got the podcast and they got the, like, you can help us with that. So, yeah. Okay.
You know, I'm saying, no, I'm happy to do it. Happy to come on board and bring. Listen, it'll take a little bit to learn the fantasy go round, if you will, like you said earlier. But being active as I have for the last 6 years, a lot of what I do now is helping others, you know, grow their brands. So looking forward to doing the same. And I've listened before to Cover 32 in its previous version, and certainly now with Beacon League, and I enjoy it immensely. So it's nice to be a part of it.
Thanks, man. We appreciate you coming on tonight, and we look forward to you being on the shows in the future. You know, adding some breaking news, doing some interviews that we'll schedule with some of the league mates, and we look forward to it. So thanks, Mike.
Thank you. Have a great rest of the show.
All right, bro. Thank
you, Big Mike.
All right, so that is Mike Colon right there, guys. So he, as you can tell, is no joke. He very, very well versed in speaking on a podcast, bro. Like, he don't, I can't even, I have no fight, no dog in that fight when it comes to to hosting a show or anything like that. That guy's for real. So glad we could add him to the squad. So all right, let's get into what we had going on last week. Well, first of all, let's talk about the biggest thing that happened, Monday Night Football. Cleveland, yes, sir, versus the Steelers. Sid, you were there firsthand. Nick Chubb basically, Thanos was standing somewhere with that gauntlet and snapped his finger, and Nick Chubb's knee exploded on national television. That was terrible. So let's just touch on the impact that Nick Chubb injury has for the fantasy landscape. So anybody can take the floor on this one. What does that do for the, more so for the running back landscape of fantasy football? How big of a loss is this to the running back room?
I think it's huge, man. I mean, Nick Chubb was shaping up to be definitely the top three running backs this season. You know, if he stayed healthy and he kept on the trajectory that he was going, he was going to finish top three. There's a lot of people talking about he might finish RB1. So to lose that is pretty big, because it bumps a lot of people up. You know, you got guys like Travis Etienne might break top five now because of the loss of Nick Chubb. It also creates an opportunity for Jerome Ford. You got Kareem Hunt entering the fold again. So it's addition by subtraction. So we lose one, but we gain, you know, two fantasy relevant players because of it. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, it's completely said. I'm sure you were there. Were you on that end of the end zone when that happened?
Were you? No, unfortunately, it happened very far away from me. But
okay.
As you guys know, I hate the Browns, but I do respect Nick Chubb. I do like him. I think he's the best player on offense for the Browns. So I think definitely it changes the RB landscape, like Jordan said. But I do think the Browns definitely are going to feel that worse than anyone, even outside of fantasy. So definitely major impact.
Yeah, definitely. That's a catastrophic, and it's like we get one of those like big running back injuries almost every year. You never expect it. I just really didn't expect that catastrophic of an injury. Like, you'll see, like, oh, he's down with a hamstring, or he, you know, sprained his ankle, like we see with Saquon right now. But that, like, immediately once you start seeing the video and the replay of what that injury was, and they wouldn't even put the replay on national TV, that's how you know, like, I don't even know what the rest of Nick Chubb's career looks like after that. Like, he's not a 23-year-old running back anymore. Like, even, I'm sure he'll come back, but, like, what level of Nick Chubb are we going to get after? That's the same knee he blew up in college, too. Like, the same exact. He tore his meniscus, ACL, MCL, and PCL all in one play in college. And then looks like he just tore all of those again on Monday night, unfortunately. So I don't know what that means for him, but definitely for this season, that's big. Big loss for fantasy football and for the NFL in general. But so, of course, anytime a big player like that goes down, we have the fallout of who's up next. So Jerome Ford was able to take over the lead back role in that game, rushed for over 100 yards, looked really good out there, actually. Really, he's a pretty good prospect coming out anyway. So if you had him already on your roster, if you own Nick Chubb, that was smart move. But they also finally got their guy back after a lot of deliberations over the offseason. Kareem Hunt finally ends up back on the Browns after they let him go. So what do you guys think? How do you guys think that running back room is going to play out between Jerome Ford and Kareem Hunt? What do you think the dynamic is going to be?
So I think it's going to be Jerome Ford is going to be the lead back, probably receiving probably about, like, I'd say 60% of the work. And Kareem Hunt and Pierre Strong, I think, will split the other 40%. I think it'll be more in the favor of Kareem Hunt. But I think Pierre Strong's not going away.
Okay. Sid, how you feel about the move to get Hunt and what that does for the dynamic between him and Jerome Ford?
I mean, all offseason, we know the Browns didn't have any interest in Hunt. They feel like he lost a step, but obviously they're in a desperate, you know, desperate mode right now. The running back just well all together in the NFL is dried up. So, you know, they had to add a veteran. Why not add someone that knows the playbook? I do think that Jerome Ford, I think it is going to be like a 1A, 1B type backfield. I think that Pierre Strong will get some work into. I think it's going to be, you know, a little murky at first, but I think maybe further weeks someone carves up whoever. I think best man's going to end up leading in future weeks for Cleveland.
Yeah, I feel like it is still Jerome Ford's, but he's still got the burst. He's young. Like,
he's fast, man. He's a fast guy.
He's real fast. Yeah, exactly. He's even on that big run that he had to come out because he was gassed after that, like, 70-yard run he almost took to the house. You could see, like, he broke out of that. It wasn't even a tackle, really. It was just like a scrum of jerseys all in one thing, and then you just see him pop out of the back of it and then just take it up the side of the field. And I was like, oh shoot, this dude's kind of fast, bro. I don't know if I seen Nick Chubb run that fast. And obviously he's not Nick Chubb, but I think he would do fun. Like, it's still a Kevin Stefanski run offense. It's still run first. It's not, they're not, and Deshaun Watson doesn't look great throwing the ball. So it's not like they're just gonna abandon the run. Like, that's not the type of team that the Browns, you know, employ over there. They're still gonna run the ball. So I do think it is gonna be Jerome Ford's, like a 60%, 65%, like Jordan was saying. And then the other two, Kareem Hunt and Pierre Strong, will kind of have to figure. I feel like one of those guys will come out, you know, on top as the de facto number two guy. But that's going to take a few weeks. But that's not, they still do have a decent running back room. All three of those guys are pretty solid. So we'll see what happens. Of course, Jordan, you will be able to watch that very closely as you were able to scoop Jerome Ford in the league. So
sir,
kudos to you. Get a little bit of, you can use them. You can use them as trade capital or whatever you want to call it. So good pickup on that. That's easily the waiver pickup of the week. So so let's get into what happened week two. Of course, that was the end of the matchups. Tyler Little comes out with the Alpha Award, his first of the year. Chris was week one. Ty Jelly gets 188 points. 0.36 to be specific, and is the top scorer of the week. And unfortunately, our boy Jonesy had the lowest score of the week. And I don't even think he broke. Let's see. What did he end up with? Yeah, he didn't even break 100 points. So 91.04 for Jonesy. So he's on the waffle watch. Just briefly, guys, just about Tyler's team. Is this team right now like automatically the team to beat in the league? I know it's only 2 weeks in, but what do you guys, how do you guys feel about Tyler's team in general?
Yeah, like I said it before, like Ty's team is, we got our first juggernaut of the season. Barring any injuries, Ty should be doing just fine. It's built how I kind of, my philosophy on building a roster. I personally prefer it. Very wide receiver heavy, you know, going with Tyreek and CD off the bat, and then he has great flexes and T. Higgins and Christian Kirk. Got good quarterbacks, you know, he's doing well all around. And then his weakest point is going to be his running back room, but it's not weak, you know, like it might be his weakest point, but it's not weak by any means. Rashad White is getting insane opportunity, and Javonte Williams, I mean, he might be able to flip it on at any point during the season. He might be a late season bloomer. So yeah, Ty is definitely, in my opinion, the team to beat right now.
Sid, how you feel about Ty Jelly's team?
Yeah, man. Like Jordan said, I'm jealous. I love the wide receiver build, and now that hurt, Zay Jones, like Christian Kirk goes right back into his last year's role. Yep. So AR-15, I mean, he is going to be so fantasy viable. And to have him as your QB2, CJ Stroud, who's starting to find his groove too on the bench, and then you got, you know, he left points on the bench this week too, Raheem Mostert. So yeah, Tyler definitely has a juggernaut right now.
Yeah, I would agree too. He's also got Kyren Williams, who now is RB1 on the Rams, who don't look as bad as we thought we're gonna look. So his team, yeah, CJ Stroud literally has the second most passing yards in the league right now, I believe, or first, might be first, but either way, yeah, he's got a stacked team, bro. Like, I have no complaints about any spot on his team right now, and he's putting up the points to prove it. So I, yeah, Ty's the team to beat. Great draft, great week last week. That's gonna keep rolling. I don't see that stopping. All right, so just briefly, we'll look at the matchups from last week. Perry gets his first win of the season. He took down myself, Puma Drew, in that matchup, 148 to 138. I had literally no running back help for, looks like, this week too, but I only lost by 10, so there's a, you know, silver lining in that. But Perry gets his first win. Jordan ended up playing Tyler, so Jordan actually had a excellent scoring week as well, but when you run into the top guys, nothing you can do. Yep. Yeah, 156 to 188 in that matchup. Mark Axelon gets his win. He was playing Jonesy this week, so he's now 1-1. Got himself a comfortable 40-point win right there. Sid, you came out on top, 162 to 153, taking down Big Mike from Springfield.
Big Mike.
got that one done, a 9-point victory for yourself. And we got Enley taking down Kango, 157 to 123. And then Mark O taking down Poom B, 154 to 115. So pretty drastic drop for Chris, actually, in the rankings. He was number one last week and has dropped now in the actual standings five spots. And we are going to do the power rankings. We'll post those tomorrow. We didn't get a chance to finish that up today. But, yeah, Chris drops from 1 to 6 in a matter of 1 week. So big drop for Chris Pimentel. It's probably the name change that did that for him. But yeah, did you guys have any surprises, surprise matchups from last week? Any team that you thought was going to definitely going to win or a team that was definitely going to lose and they pulled it off? Any surprises in week two, or everything kind of played out the way you thought it would?
I kind of felt bad for Kendall, just because, you know, everyone was excited for the Chiefs versus the Jaguars, and his stack. He has one of the best stacks in our league with Trevor Lawrence and Calvin Ridley. But the Chiefs defense, man, like, to me, that was, I don't know if you guys watched it, but it was super impressive. Like, their secondary is vastly improved. So that was probably the biggest surprise for me. I think that I actually play Kendall this week, so we'll talk about that in a little bit. I'm actually, I have to deal with the stack being pissed off about last week coming back. So that was my biggest surprise.
I would probably agree. I still do consider Kendall's team a pretty good squad. It's just that, like, obviously in the standing, like, now he's 0-2 and has the least amount of points. Like, it doesn't match. And I thought he would have had, he was projected to win this game. So that in itself, of course, looking at the sleeper projections isn't always the best way to go about whether you're going to win or not. That could change in the instant of somebody scores a 60-yard touchdown and that blows up the projections. But, I thought he would put up a better fight against Mark this week. But, you know, sometimes you just got to just see how the cookies crumble. And I don't think his team's going to stay that low in the standings. That was probably, the most surprising matchup for me. Jordan, did you feel the same way about that? Did you see any other surprises from week two?
Yeah, so my surprise was actually Mark Onofrio taking down Chris Pimentel. We last episode we were talking and we made our predictions, and I felt pretty confident that Chris should walk away with that relatively easily. So a combination of Chris's team underperforming, I know it must hurt to have, you know, see ETN, you know, walk away with 6 points, to see Jamar Chase walk away with 8 points, you know, his heavy hitters, the guys that I had faith in, didn't hit this week. And then on the flip side, you had Mark, you know, his guys, they hit it out the park. You know, you got Joe Burrow, even though it wasn't a great game, he still put up 20 points. Jettas did his usual 24 points. Deontay Smith, Slim Reaper, put up 23, you know, and then he had a couple guys that just put up some like Mark's team just, I don't want to say they overperformed, because I think that's I think that's within the range of outcomes for Mark's team. But I just was surprised that Chris's team was going to fall off that hard. Could just be a bad week. He might snap back into form this week, but we got to see.
Yeah, we definitely got that one. I didn't think about either, because we were talking about Chris's team as, like, you know, one of the better teams in the league. Like, it was definitely, I mean, we had him ranked atop the power rankings, and I still think his team is good, better than, you know, sixth in the league. But that was definitely a surprising takedown by Mark Onofrio. His whole team put up solid points, and that's basically all you needed to beat Chris in this particular week. So good win for Mark. So that puts week two in the books. Ty Jelly, Enley, and Mark are the top three and the three undefeated teams thus far in Beacon League 7 heading into week three. So let's look at some of these matchups coming up. Let's go. We'll start with Chris Pimentel, or Drew 2.0, whatever y'all want to call it, taking on Mark Axelon. Chris coming off of a loss, Mark coming off of a W. Keys to victory for both of these teams. I'll start with Mark Axelon. If Eckler plays, he wins, and I don't think Eckler's playing. So unfortunately, he's got him in his lineup now, but I don't think he's gonna suit up. So I will go with Chris unless something happens and Eckler decides he can go forward with the ankle injury. What do you guys think about this matchup? Any keys to victory for either team?
Yeah, I'm siding with Chris. My keys to victory. I think I'm the guys that I think are his heavy hitters, which would be ETN and Ja'Marr Chase. I think they get back on track. I don't think they're gonna repeat of last week. You got ETN versus Houston, who is known to just be a running back's playground. So that's a great matchup. And then Ja'Marr Chase versus the Rams. The Rams defense is very different with no Jalen Ramsey. It's a little bit they're kind of putting up shootout games. And if we could get the Bengals in a shootout, Ja'Marr Chase is going to benefit massively from that. So I think those two players are going to be the keys to Chris taking home the dub.
Sid, how you feel about this matchup? Who do you think is going to win and why?
Yeah, unfortunately for my guy Mark, I got to side with Chris. Just specifically, I think Chase, Ja'Marr Chase in prime time, week three, it's pretty much a must win for the Bengals. I think it's going to be a shootout. I think the Rams are giving up like 30 points a game, even though they're playing much better than I thought. But I hate the Mac Jones versus the Jets, and yep. No Eckler. I think CMC can carry, but I don't think he can carry that much. So I got to go with Chris on this one.
Yeah, I agree. So Chris across the board for that first matchup, and we'll see how that pans out. Kango versus Mark O. We know Mark Onofrio coming off of a big win. Sid, we'll start with you. Who do you think wins this matchup, and what will be the key to his victory?
I mean, a lot of stuff happened today. You know, the Alexander Mattison thing. Mm-hmm. is a big one. I mean, I don't think, obviously, Cam Akers isn't going to play this week, but they pretty much showed their hand that they don't really believe and trust in him.
Mm-hmm.
This one's tough. I think I have to still go with Mark Onofrio based off of really just based off of Joe Burrow's health. I think if he plays Monday night, like I said, I think it's going to be a shootout. I think it's going to be 30 points plus for the Bengals. Jordan Addison is becoming, you know, a great wide receiver too. And with the Nick Chubb, I think that was Kangol's best player. So I got to side with Marco for this game.
Yeah. Jordan, how you feel about this matchup?
Yeah, I'm going Marco. I feel very strongly about his Minnesota receiver stack versus the Los Angeles Chargers. Los Angeles Chargers secondary is good, but for some reason they are leaky when it comes to fantasy points to receivers. It's a little bit of a lick your chops type of situation, and I think both Jettas and Addison are going to be able to feast a little bit on that defense. And I think it's going to be a high scoring game. So I think he's just going to be able to edge him out with his receivers. Hopefully maybe Kango's running backs will surprise me, but I just think that with losing Nick Chubb, his team has lost its oomph. And with making a trade of getting rid of Josh Jacobs and only getting Najee back, my faith in his team has only gone lower.
Yeah, I agree. I wasn't a huge fan of the moves that were made. You know, he missed on Jerome Ford. That's big. Like, regardless of what, just because he could have had him, like that would have been a help to that running back room. Although it's already the most stacked running back room in the league, that's a direct replacement for Nick Chubb. So. And on Mark Onofrio's side, all of his matchups except for his quarterbacks are in the green. Now, I know that doesn't mean too much going into the matchup. That's just based off of what these defenses have been doing the past 2 weeks. But they're all in plus territory for his running backs, all of his receivers. Even Cole Kmet has a plus matchup against Kansas City. So just his quarterbacks and, you know, in the playing against some defenses that are not letting up as many points against quarterbacks, that doesn't mean too much. It's still quarterbacks score the most points. So I definitely give this matchup to Mark O going into week three. He should come away with the victory in this one. Next matchup, we got Enly versus Tyler. So Tyler, number one team in the league right now. I think that's pretty consensus across the league. He's got the best squad, the man to beat. Jordan, I'll start with you. Who do you got in this matchup and why?
So although I do think that this is a good matchup versus Tyler, I still think Tyler takes it home. I just, like I said, I just pound for pound, his roster is just gonna, it edges out Enly's team. You know, when you look at the, just go across and you look at the quarterbacks, he wins all the quarterback battles. He wins you know what? I won't give him the running back battles, but Tyler's close. I give Enly the running backs, but then when it comes down to the receivers, you know, Tyler's just running away with it. So he's got some good matchups with Tyreek Hill in Denver. That was a shootout last they played, and with Washington. So yeah, I think we're gonna see Tyler go 3-0. Unfortunately,
yeah, I agree. I like most of Tyler's team slightly better. Breece Hall is questionable for Enly as well. So I would agree with you. I think Tyler takes this one. Just kind of overall. Even CJ Stroud's questionable too, but I think he plays against Jacksonville. That should be another shootout to watch too. So a lot of fantasy points out of his QB too. So that'll go well for Tyler. I think he does go 3-0. Sid, how you feel about this matchup?
Yeah, I think, you know, two undefeated teams. Someone's got to take an L. Unfortunately, I think it's going to be Enly. The four wide receivers that Tyler has is just, I mean, even if three of them go off, it's pretty much curtains. I got to pick Tyler until he loses, man.
Yeah, no, I feel you, Ross. I mean, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. I'm not just going to try to get cute and pick somebody else. So if Tyler's the best team, in my opinion, that's who we're going with. So, all right, another matchup: 0-2 Mike versus 1-1 Perry. Jalen Hurts me. What a great name for that's pretty good. That's pretty good, Perry. Who Sid? I'll start with you. Who do you got in this matchup, and why?
Ooh, man, is this a must-win for my guy, Mike?
Yeah, I think so.
I think it's a must win for bro. Yeah, man, this one's gonna be tough. There's a lot of questionables for Perry, but you know what? Yeah, I have to lean towards Perry. I think his team is just. I think Jalen is starting to get back into midseason form, and Bijan is like, I mean, his snap share from week one to week two, just in a week, is just, it's just showing you Arthur Smith is finally bought into at least one of the stars on the Falcons. Mm-hmm. So I think Perry's quarterbacks are just, they're too good. I think Mahomes is still, you know, didn't play a lot of preseason. I think he's still warming up, but I like Perry's team this week.
Yeah, I'm going to go. This one is tough, but I'm going to go. This one's tough. Yes, yeah. Dang.
Definitely not clear, man. I mean, the Barkley thing is what really sent me over the edge.
Yeah, I'm going to go Mike's team.
Nice.
I don't really have too much confidence in Buffalo's defense as a whole, and I do like how Sam Howell's been playing. Unfortunately, because he's in the division with the Cowboys, so I don't like seeing the Commanders be good. But if Brandon Ayuk doesn't play tomorrow night for San Fran, that kind of boosts Debo stock. You know, less miles to feed. He just got Jacobs, who's playing Sunday night against Pittsburgh. I kind of like how his team looks for this week. But Mark Andrews is now another game removed from whatever injury was lingering for him that had him miss week one. Get a little bit more connection with Lamar Jackson, and I think Mike is able to stay out of the bottom three teams and get his first win of the season. So I'll pick Mike. Jordan, who you got?
Yeah. I think I got to go Mike as well. But it is very close for me. It's very close, but I think Patty is going to go insane against Chi-Town. Mm-hmm. I think Patty outscores Jalen. I think Josh Jacobs does work against Pittsburgh. I mean, Pittsburgh was giving up work to Jerome Ford. So I think Josh Jacobs kind of follows suit, keeps that going.
Disrespect my team in front of me.
Oh, sorry. You hear said? My bad. I didn't know you were still on the call, bro. Oh, man. I think Mark Andrews has a big game against Indy. Baltimore always plays Indy really, really well. It's not by much, but I'm going to give the edge to Mike.
All right. So, yeah. So, 2-1 for the Beacon League podcast. Mike, we got a little bit of faith in you, but if you do go 0-3,
woo!
It ain't going to be sweet to get up out of there, bro.
Just leave the chat.
Big facts.
That's a tough hill to climb. So we'll see. We got Puma Drew taking on Jordan this week.
I didn't even know about that.
It's one of them ones. I'll go first. My team right now, we not ready. You know what I'm saying? We're trying to climb. We're trying to build. I got a couple characters on my team. You know, I got a disgruntled Justin Fields blaming coaches on him not playing good. You know, Brandon Ayuk's questionable.
I got a
Kelly and a Miller in my running back room. Like, it's just, I'm Cam Akers ain't playing yet. We'll get there. I just don't think we get there this week. Jordan has a very good team. Playing most other teams in the league last week, he would have won, put up a lot of points. So he's got a couple questionables, but even that, he's got some hitters on his bench too. So I do think I take my second L in a row and drop to 1-2, but we'll try to fight back. What do you guys think about this matchup? Go ahead. I'll let you know. My fault. You can ask me. Go ahead.
How many more performances from Kyle Pitts will it take for you to drop him?
To drop him?
Like, how many more 4-point games where it's just like, I can't do it no more?
Probably, let me see. I got to look at his schedule. I think week, if he puts up less than 5 these next 2 weeks, I'll probably drop him. He got two weeks, basically.
That is tragic.
Because I have another short leash, unfortunately. I took the gamble on him. I said, whatever. It's a tight end. I can easily find another tight end, so I'm not that concerned about it. I don't like, because I could have taken a running back where I took Kyle Pitts. Looking at it, you know, but hindsight's 20/20 on that one. But I give him another 2 weeks before I bench him. And then if I find diamond in the rough at tight end, I'll probably just get rid of him. But we'll see. But Jordan, I'll let you go first so Sig could be the tiebreaker. Mm-hmm. How you feel? How much you think you're gonna win by this week?
Oh man, don't do that to me. No, but truthfully, like, I think where I don't compete, I think, is the QB battle. Because I think that Lamar and Indy, I'm afraid of him going ballistic. Lamar and Indy, he always has a good game against them. So I'm afraid of that. And then Fields, I got this weird gut feeling that Fields might have had down games, but now that he's finally playing me, he's going to go crazy. He, you know, they got their DC is gone on some questionable FBI raid nonsense. There's some weird stuff going on with coaches. He had a weird interview where he's talking about just thinking less and getting back to the and getting on the field. It almost sounds like he just wants to let Booby spin. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I'm afraid they're going to let him do that, because if they do, that is when I think Justin Fields shines the most, where he doesn't have to think about all his cues and think about, you know, he just takes with what his first few reads. If they're not there, he takes off, so on, so forth. That's when he puts up a lot of fantasy points. So I think I'm afraid of that type of game this week out of Justin Fields. Outside of that, I do feel pretty confident in my other positions. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I'll give the edge to myself, unfortunately. All right.
Sid, you are not the tiebreaker, but the last of the Mohegans. What do you think about this matchup?
And first and foremost, I think it's pretty it's a far cry that Brandon Ayuk plays tomorrow night, just because I don't really feel like San Fran needs him, to be honest.
They're just gonna sit him.
Yeah, the Giants defense is a huge disappointment.
Yeah.
Even though, you know, I'm not gonna go by projections on the running backs. Like,
I'm not either.
Kelly and Miller. I think Jordan does beat you, but I don't think this game is going to be. I don't think it's gonna be a blowout like what the projections are currently showing. I love your wide receivers matchups, even without Ayuk. I think just Jordan is just, his team is starting to get healthy. I mean, if Christian Watson plays for once, the way, you know, Jordan Love has already been doing well without him. So I'm going to give the edge to Jordan, obviously, but I wouldn't be, I think you're at least going to keep the game close.
Yeah.
Yeah. I agree with Jordan about the Fields thing. I just feel like they're going to be down.
I need
if,
him to.
If he's going to stop thinking and just play football, I feel like that's what he did. But like week 5 or 6 last year, whenever he started popping off, like I just need him to at least this week, because somebody on my team is due for a down. Like Mike Evans is due for one of them 8-point games instead of the 30s he's been putting up. Like Justin Fields got to balance off at some point. The bookends got to do it, but we'll see. I have confidence in my team. I don't think this week's the get right week. I gotta wait a little bit. And Kyle Pitts gotta go to my bench. before I do something. All right, last matchup. Kendall versus Sid. And Sid, we will let you be the tiebreaker of your own matchup on this one. This is the closest projection. We have this week. It's right now split 50-50. Less than a point. Yeah, less than a point in point projections for this week. Jordan, who do you have taking this battle of Jonesy versus Sid?
Oh, man, this is actually really tough. And it's because not only are the projections right neck and neck, but even when you look at the matchups, like I look at a few matchups on Sid's side and I say I love them. Then I look at a few matchups on Kendall's side and I say, dang, I love them too. But I just think that Sid has more heavy hitters on his side. So if the guys that are going to pop off, that should pop off, do pop off, I think Sid does walk home with it. I think that the Washington and Buffalo game is going to be a bit of a shootout, actually. So I think Josh Allen is going to have another 3 to 4 TD day. Tony Pollard is going to go just bananas in Arizona. And then I think Tyler Lockett actually is going to be a bit of a safety valve against a very good Carolina defense. I think they're going to turn his way multiple times. So I think I do give the edge to Sid.
I agree with you. I give the edge to Sid. Daniel Jones, I'm afraid of in that San Francisco matchup. But I might be slightly more afraid of Deshaun Watson against Tennessee. for Jonesy. So, yeah, Damian Pierce against Jacksonville, not a fan of. And yeah, I just think overall, I think Sid slightly has the better lineup going into the week. Zach Ertz is a surprisingly efficient, getting a whole bunch of targets at tight end this year. So, yeah, I like this build a little bit better, and I'm gonna pick Sid to take down Jonesy, who unfortunately might go 0-3, which is also scary seeing that he's in the 12 spot already. So, yeah, I give the slight edge to Sid this week. Sid, how you feel about this one, bro?
So we got another must win, right?
Yeah.
Week two, we got two must win teams. Crazy. Unfortunately, I'm probably gonna have to give the edge to Kendall, just because my stack versus his stack, I think, is where, you know, I had to watch, you know, my team go against San Fran up close. And, you know, I know the Rams played them a lot better, but, you know, that's a divisional opponent.
Right.
San Fran's defense is one of the scariest defenses in the league. And the Giants just lost their best offensive weapon and their left tackle. So while my stack, you know, had a really good comeback Sunday and Kendall struggled, I think it's going to be opposite. I think my stack, short week, is going to stumble tomorrow. And I think what T-Law and Calvin Ridley are going to do in Houston is going to be record-breaking. And then he has my boy George Pickens, which I feel like he's a tutty. He's an auto tutty for Sunday night. I don't have him beating me, you know, by a lot, but I think Kendall gets the must win. I think he goes 1-2, and I go 1-2.
All right. So we're going to have we could have a slew of 1-2 teams floating around the mid to bottom of the league if that's the case, if Kendall pulls this off. So, yeah, like I said, we're almost a quarter through the fantasy season, which is crazy. But week three starts tomorrow. So yeah, so that's good. That's the review for week three. Our predictions. We'll put up official power rankings tomorrow. So Thursday, you'll see that on the Beacon League page. We could chop it up about that. So if y'all agree or disagree with those, and then keep pushing out the content weekly. I'm gonna try to do some more content on the page on game day, so that we have a little bit of friendly back and forth and banter on certain things that are going on between the games to keep everything active. So we'll stay on top of that, and we thank you guys for joining us. Jordan and Sid, thanks for hopping on. Mike Colon, again, thanks for popping up for your first show, and can't wait to see what the future holds for you and Beacon League and being a part of this crazy league that you don't even know what you got yourself into, bro. So we'll see you guys next week for the week three roundup and week four predictions, and I'll keep you posted, and everybody have a wonderful Sunday game day. All the stress and the highs and lows of the roller coasters of fantasy football, and we will catch you guys on the next Beacon League podcast.
Peace.